Hi there. You're listening to the Voice with Action podcast. I am your host, Deb Balico.
And I am Rebecca Pratt, co-founder and president of Orphan Relief and Rescue. Tune in to be awakened and inspired to take action towards what you were created to do in this world, to live fully alive.
Hello, and welcome to the Voice with Action podcast. I'm here with Rebecca, and she and I were just talking offline about how she recently updated her first book called Inspired to Action, and she now is updating the audio. And so as she's kind of going through the detailed step-by-step process of doing that audio, she's really being touched by just how God started Orphan Relief and Rescue, and that He is the same God that we serve today. So we just kind of wanted to start with that theme of just how amazing God is. And as Rebecca, even to this day, is wowed by these stories. And so take it away, Rebecca.
I'm so in awe of God. And, you know, you forget about a book you wrote 10 years plus ago. And so as I'm having to read and reread and edit and do all the things that need to be done for this audio version, I am re-reminded that God is way bigger than we even understand. He's also wanting to get our attention all the time with how big He is and how trustworthy He is. As I was reading this book and then in the editing process, you know, I have to listen to it all over again a couple different times to catch, you know, any words that are not said correctly or whatever that have to be redone. In listening, one of the stories in particular, I just started just crying as I'm listening, and I'm just crying happy, beautiful tears, completely wrecked by this incredible God that we serve. And I'm like, wow, Lord, You are so good. And, you know, the reason that I wrote this book in particular, that I had no thought to write a book in the beginning years, was that the Lord really prompted my heart that these are His stories and they needed to be shared with the world because these are His stories. These are His faithfulness things. And in the Old Testament, where God always, when He did a miracle, He would ask the Israelites to make a monument, put these stones right here, remember what I just did, and share these stories with your children, your grandchildren, your legacy, basically. I wrote the book out of obedience, didn't have any idea that it was going to completely bring me to a whole new level of love with the Lord and in awe and wonder of the Lord. One of these stories that has wrecked me this week, again, just remembering, and I'm retelling the story that you could get in my Inspired to Action book, mainly because this is how big our God is, and this is what the Lord reminded me again about. And then this is why I feel like I need to share again with you as an audience that this is how big our God is and He's trustworthy. So my family and I lived on a hospital ship for 2 years in Africa. We had a gentleman that came to volunteer for 3 weeks in that area. He's from Switzerland. He's a part of these stories and this one in particular. I was in dry dock as a family, and you know, there's 350 people on this ship. We were in dry dock in South Africa. And of course, it was the beautiful area, Cape Town, tourist area. I mean, we had incredible time. We still had to do our job. I was renovation secretary. So I was working with a vendor off the ship to get all of our renovation supplies onto the ship during the 6 week shipyard time. So this is where we need to get a year's supply worth of everything that the ship could possibly need for renovations. So it was quite a list. And these whole 6 weeks, I worked with this man named David to get everything on board that ship. So at the end, it was complete. And I gave David a gift and thanked him and just really was like, wow, we did it. We got everything on board. Everything's in the cargo hold and we're ready. And we were going to sail within 48 hours back to Liberia, West Africa, which was a war-torn country. It was a year and a half post-Civil War, so it was extremely, everybody was needy. tons of, they said 70% of the population was, did not have jobs, you know, was jobless, and everybody was hungry. Everybody needed something. So I was like, here we are in a 5-star area. On weekends, we would take our kids to like the mall. You know, there was a 5-star mall there, and it was just, you know, beautiful Table Mountain to go tour. Lots of hiking, lots of beauty everywhere. The water was just pristine. Lots of, you know, sharks and dolphins and everything, like tour wise, you can tour all this stuff. So here we are preparing, knowing 48 hours, we're going to be going back to this war-torn area that was, everyone was needy and it was overwhelming. And I was like, Lord, I don't want to go back. I'm just struggling. Help me. This is, I know this is why we're on the ship, but I don't want to leave this like beautiful area and go to this war-torn area. And I'm just not, I'm not ready. And so as I was praying, I was really convicted, Lord, show me like how to be okay with going back. And I felt like the Lord was like, put this idea of, I want you to bring food to help your hungry friends. Cause we had already been there before and this was a returning trip. So I knew a lot of people already that were hungry. So I felt like the Lord was like, bring some food for your hungry friends. And so I was like, okay, so put a little budget together of, you know, within our savings, which wasn't much, missionary family. We kind of calculated, well, really, we only have about $100 that we could buy food with. So I thought, all right, well, $100 is $100. At least I'll have a little bit of food for my friends. And it was just kind of like, oh, we don't have much. Oh, well, whatever. And I thought, well, I don't even know how to go buy $100 worth of food, but I'm going to figure that out. So I'm starting to walk off the gangway. And there was a friend there that I had told you at the beginning that had, was volunteering on for 3 weeks from Switzerland. And he says, hey, I had told just a couple people about this, you know, buying food thing. And I said, but I only have $100. So this man had heard that my idea of buying food for the Liberian friends. And he said, hey, I hear you want to buy some food. And I said, yeah, I do. And he goes, how much food are you going to buy? And I didn't want to tell him because I was embarrassed. So I said, not a whole lot. And he goes, hey, because I want to donate towards that. I want to help hungry Liberians, you know, with food. And I said, okay, well, how much? And he goes, well, how much can you put on the ship? And I literally was kind of taken aback. And I was like, I don't know. And he goes, buy as much food as you can fit on the ship and I will pay for it. And I was like, you've got to give me an amount. Give me an amount. He goes, nope, just as much as you can do. And I was like, okay, thank you. I'll have to figure this one out. So I go back to my cabin and I was like, oh my gosh, what do I do? How do I do this? And so I went to the captain of the ship because obviously I needed to get advice. Like, this gentleman wants to donate. I know we don't do food type distributions, you know, with the organization we were with called Mercy Ships. That's not what they do. They're medical. So I asked this captain at the time, I said, hey, this gentleman wants to donate as much food as we can fit on the ship. And how much will you authorize me to put on the ship, like to get? And he goes, Rebecca, we're sailing in 48 hours. He said, all of our vehicles are loaded. All of our cargo, everything is loaded. He said, so you would have to have it here by tomorrow morning. Now, this is 5 p.m. He said, you'll have to have this food by tomorrow morning to load it up because we have to have everything registered on board 24 hours before we leave. So he goes, so I say in the cargo holds, maybe we could fit maybe 5 pallets of food, which is a lot, but you would have to literally have it trucked here by 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Now, I have no thought on how to do this. And I literally was like, okay, thank you. And I left his office. I took my little purse. I'm walking off the gangway with my little purse. Like, what am I going to do? How am I going to find food? 5 pallets worth of food. So I literally, he said, literally, he said 3 to 5 pallets. But in my mind, I'm like, 5 pallets was my goal. Okay, I can do the maximum. So I'm walking off the gangway. There's no cars that I can take from Mercy Ships. They're all loaded. And I thought, well, I'm just going to walk to this local, like, little convenience store and say, hey, where do you get your food? I want to find how I can buy big quantities of food. So I started to walk, and I see this gentleman, David, who was one of our vendors, driving away, because that was the day that I had given him his gift and said goodbye and all that. So he's driving away, and he was almost outside the port when he, all of a sudden, I see his car turn around, and he drives up to me and he goes, hey, Rebecca, all your vehicles are loaded. What are you doing? You have your purse. You're like ready to go somewhere, but you need a ride somewhere? And I go, oh, David, let me tell you my situation. So I told him the dilemma of not knowing how I'm going to get 5 pallets of food onto the ship, but I have a donor that will, you know, purchase it and all this stuff. And he literally was like, oh my goodness, get in the vehicle. I'm going to take you to exactly where you need to go. Now, this is a vendor. So he has all of the, it would be like a Costco membership. You know, he's got all the memberships into these places. So he takes me to this huge food factory where everything is packaged on pallets already, ready to go into ships. And he was like, okay, pick out your 5 pallets. And then we'll get this gentleman to pay for it. And, you know, if he comes with you in the morning, we'll have everything. He goes, I'll arrange a truck to come pick up the stuff in the morning. And you bring your friend, he'll pay for it. They'll load it on his truck. And then they'll get it to the ship by 10 in the morning. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is really working. This is shocking. So we're driving. And it was like a 45-minute drive to this food factory. And the whole time, I'm just sharing how this all came about. And tears were streaming down his face as he was like, Rebecca, I'm so privileged that I get to be a part of this. And he said, so tomorrow morning, he goes, I'm going to work all evening to get a truck that will volunteer to pick up this food with you and bring it back to the ship. And he said, so I'm going to arrange everything. He says, and then I'm going to have you drive with that truck driver so you can tell him everything you're telling me right now, because he's a part of this story too. He's going to be a part of this story. So we get to this vendor place or this food place, and, you know, he's uses his card, his membership to get in. We're picking it all out. So I picked, you know, 2 pallets of rice, 2 pallets of beans, 1 of soup mix, and just did it within 10 minutes. I was like, this is what we want. And he's like, okay. Got back in his car. He drove me 45 minutes back to the ship. I get on the ship and he goes, just give me this evening and I'll have a truck here, you know, at 8 in the morning to take you back to this food factory and we'll load up and have you back here. So he says, just have your friend with you at 8 in the morning to come because he's going to pay for it. And I was like, okay. So I got back to the ship, told my friend from Switzerland. I said, hey, we got 5 pallets of food. This is roughly how much it's going to be. Can you come with me in the morning to pay for it? He says, absolutely. So we got to this whole thing in the morning. He paid and, you know, it was a huge amount of money. And I was like, are you okay with this amount? He goes, oh, yeah, no big deal. You know, here it is. He goes, I really wanted you to get more food than this. And I'm like, this was all that the captain would authorize, you know. Then I drove with this truck driver and was sharing with him how he's a part of this big story that God is unfolding. And we have no idea what God's going to do with this food, but we do know that God wanted it on board. And, you know, the captain was really careful to say, you know, don't be sharing with people on the ship that we got this food on board, you know, unless it's going to be under your personal mercy ministries, because it's not what we do as a ship. You know, we do medical. And I was like, okay. And so when we got to Liberia, this was the food that we used for, like, we had Christmas distribution. So different people who had different ministries out off the ship, I had just told them secretly, hey, I've got this extra food in the cargo hold. If you want to come and get this, you know, for all these hungry families that you work with, come and get as much food as you want. And so they were offloading food. And then we had an orphanage that we stumbled upon, and we ended up, you know, getting enough food for like 6 months for them that we were able to deliver. Miracle after miracle after miracle. One of the stories that one of the gentlemen that had a mercy ministry off the ship on weekends, he said that him and his wife would take a bunch of food from me, you know, to their hungry friends. and different people they were ministering to. And he says one lady, she was collecting what they call greens. It's like, it would be equal to like spinach leaves or cassava leaves or something, you know, in the bush. And she was collecting greens for her family because she had nothing to feed them. And so she was just walking through the woods, collecting what she could to just put in a pot of soup, basically. You know, you see numerous people doing that. And so he says, I went up to her and I said, hey, are you in need of some food? And she says, yes, I have no food at home. And I'm just picking greens so that I can make some sort of soup or something for my family. And he says, well, I want you to come back to my vehicle. I have some food for you. And he handed her, you know, all these beans and rice packets. And she just started crying. And she said, no one has ever done anything like this for me. And he says, I want you to know that God sees you. He loves you. And you are valuable and important to him. And he brought me to you to help your family today. And he's the God of provision. And he says, she was crying, then he started crying, then his wife is crying. And then he comes back to the ship and he's telling me the story. And then I'm crying. And all of these miracle after miracle after miracle stories of people who were able to deliver this food to people who really were at the end. They didn't know what else to do. There was no way to provide for their families. And I literally feel like it was a multiplication that he did. You know, I kind of figured we had probably enough food to feed 900 people, you know, for maybe a month. And yet the amount of people that came, I just literally would open the cargo hold and say, take whatever you want. Take whatever you want, whenever you want. Just come and I'll get the key to open the cargo hold for you. Because I obviously was the renovation secretary, so I had access to that. And they would just come in and pile this food, you know, into their trucks. And I was like, okay, well, and it just seemed like it was never shrinking. And so by the end, when we were able to deliver the final food to this orphanage of, let's see, that one had 85 kids in that orphanage, literally a starving orphanage that we ended up helping more later when we came back as Orphan Relief and Rescue too. But that orphanage literally had food for 6 months from the leftovers, literally the leftovers of the food. So I was completely floored by what God did miraculously. From the, you know, looking at all the details, there is no way that in a realistic world you could get 5 pallets of food on within a 18-hour notice, and that people would donate all of it, and that food, it would meet the needs of so many hundreds, if not thousands, of lives that were hungry, that God just wanted to show, you know, it didn't solve their long-term problem. And that's the, you know, with the community development people, they always say, you know, food handouts are never helpful, you know. At the same time, what I looked at is I said, yeah, it's not going to help them long-term, but what it is going to do, it's going to build their faith that God sees them. They have not been forgotten. And for some reason, God wanted 5 pallets of food on that ship so that we could show that they have not been forgotten. They're valuable. They're loved. Their prayers have been answered for that day or that month or that 6 months for that orphanage that had prayed every day for food. God is in the business of miracles. And it starts with the miracle of the day. And then it turns into the miracle of the month. And then the miracle of the year. And then what he's doing in our hearts is he's showing us how big he is. So for me, he showed me how big he is. And now, even this week, as I'm reading my story of his faithfulness, my faith is renewed again of like, oh, Lord Jesus, there is nothing impossible for you. Nothing. You are so big. You are so good. And I'm just so in love with you because you're so good. You're such a lover of people. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was wondering, like, what did God teach you about himself through that? And it sounds like just that he's so big, that he's huge. And providing food is a momentary ease of suffering. But there's that old African proverb that says an empty belly has no ears. So how can you share even of God's love and provision if you're talking to someone who's starving. And I like how you even said, what does it mean to be a part of the story? You know, God wants to make us a part of the story. That's who God is, you know, is he is this big, huge, miraculous God that invites us to be a part of his story and what he's doing. So how would you speak a little bit more about that, being a part of his story and what he's doing?
Yeah, I look at all the people that had to be involved to make this miracle come to pass. David had to be queuing in to the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't even know if he knew the Lord, but he was alerted that I need to be a part of this. Then there was the truck driver. And then there was the person who paid for the food. And then there was all these different ones that were distributing this food and had a heart to share the love of Jesus with the food. And the miraculous that happened through each of these stories is what is just, yeah, it was this community of what the Lord was utilizing. So what was the actual question that you had posed?
Well, I'm wondering, we always kind of close out our podcast encouraging an audience member who might feel like they are not a part of God's story. They feel lost. They feel like, how can I really trust that God is such a big God? Like this whole idea of identity and that our relationship with God, yes, of course, it's what does he say about you, but then it's an invitation to be a part of his story and what he's doing. So how would you encourage someone who might not feel a part of that bigger story?
Yeah, it comes to our intimate time with the Lord. You know, for me, it was the wrestle that I don't want to go back to that country. I had no desire. And I had to be honest with the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I don't want to go back there. I know this is horrible and this is why we're on the ship, but I've certainly enjoyed myself for 6 weeks. So I think it's being honest with the Lord to say, Lord, I don't feel you today, or I don't feel you in my life right now, or I don't see where you're at in this picture. So for me, it started with just being honest with the Lord and saying, Lord, I don't want to go back there. So change my heart, because I know that that's not right, because I'm supposed to be serving on the ship for one, but change my heart, you know, asking the Lord to change our heart and to really reveal himself strong. You know, if you're not feeling the Lord, ask the Lord to reveal himself to you. And for this situation, the Lord just prompted my heart to help feed hungry families that I knew about personally. So then it started with an idea, okay, I'll see what's in our bank account and I'll do this. And then the Lord literally made it a little bigger by having people join that vision, basically. But it's literally starting with honesty with the Lord. And when we are feeling, I'd say, anxious with anxiety, which I deal with anxiety quite a bit, and I have to go to the Lord, Lord, what's the root of this? Why am I anxious? Where am I not trusting you? Lord reveals to me where I'm not trusting him. Then I have to confess, repent, and give it to him again. It's these moments with the Lord. It's these times that we spend with the Lord where we allow his spirit to touch our spirit and to speak to our hearts, and then listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, which are going to guide and lead you, whether it's walking in forgiveness. For me, it's my anxiety. A lot of the root is that I don't trust the Lord with certain different people in my life or certain circumstances in my life. And so I'm having to say out loud, you know, Lord, I trust you with this and I give it to you and I surrender. And it's having these honest conversations with the Lord that the Lord can handle all of it. But then it's also, what are the action points with this? It's like the Lord, asking the Lord to reveal himself to us in these different ways. And whether it's being a part of a story, like a food story, or it's being a part of rescuing the kids, you know, for us, if we didn't have people such as yourselves helping us rescue these kids in West Africa, these kids would not be rescued. If people did not give and did not help us to keep these kids rescued, Orphan Relief Rescue would not be in existence. So it's really those ones, each of you who have listened to the Holy Spirit, prompted your heart, and you've taken action. That's when we literally allow God's perfect will to be done in and through our life. And so it doesn't matter if it's a physical thing that we're having to be prompted to do, or if it's an internal thing for me, a lot of it is internal. You know, I'm wrestling with something and the Lord's prompting me, you've got to forgive this person. You've got to release this person. You've got to trust me with this person or these people or this situation. And then I have to speak it out loud. I trust you, Lord. I surrender them and all of that. So it starts in the mind. And then there's action points that the Lord asks us to do. And it's walking in those action points. And then the Lord brings different people into our path to bring into existence, to help bring into existence what God is prompting our hearts to walk in the bigger things.
Yeah, I think that is what I like about this story, is that in our minds, we think it's small. You know, you think it's small that, oh, I want to provide some food for these people. I'll give my $100. Then the Lord brings someone who financially provide more. Then all of a sudden, there's this ripple effect of all these people that are connected to make this happen. And so then something small becomes next step bigger. And then it becomes huge, where it's really miraculous, you know, that you're providing your little desire and choice to help, let's say 10 people, turned into helping thousands of people because of that heart response of surrendering it to God and being like, okay, I'll be obedient. You want me to provide $100 worth of food? I'll do that. And then he is the one then that multiplies it. And that's what it means to be kind of a part of his story, is that it is so much bigger than what we could ever ask, think, or imagine. And so that's what's beautiful. And that's the God that we serve. So if you're out there listening and you feel prompted to learn more about Orphan Relief and Rescue, you can visit us at orphanreliefandrescue.org. You can email us if you have any questions at info@orphanreliefandrescue.org. And we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Voice with Action podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you consider sharing or subscribing to this podcast and leave a 5-star review to help us grow? If you want to reach us or help us end child trafficking in West Africa, go to orphanreliefandrescue.org. That's orphanreliefandrescue.org. See you next week.